Hi there. Welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. I got the doors wide open for you. And we're going to talk about love today. We're going to talk about affection. We're going to talk about marriage. And we're going to talk about what do you do if you feel starved for affection in your marriage. Let me start with this statement. Strong marriages thrive when both the behavior of love and the feelings of affection are present. What if you have one but not the other? Are you starved for affection? This is for couples. This is for marriage. Today, much help from Intentional Living.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and I welcome you to the program today. I want to do a little teaching. I want to talk to you a little bit. If you would like to call, and maybe you relate to this topic of feeling a little starved for affection in your marriage, maybe you've learned to overcome this in your marriage, my line is open to you. And maybe here's a question to get you started. In what ways does your spouse show affection to you, non-sexual ways, show affection to you that are meaningful, that's meaningful to you? In your marriage, it makes a difference. 888-888-1717 is my number. Comes directly here into our studio center at Intentional Living. 888-888-1717. Hey, from the book Starved for Affection, a book that I wrote a few years ago on this powerful topic that we saw starting to elevate to the surface as people were telling me more and more about, you know, in my marriage, close to my spouse, we're kind of falling out of love. We're not where we want to be. It's not where I expected to be. And so I wrote a book. I wrote a book with a lot of rich material in it to help you, called Starved for Affection, Why We Crave It, How to Get It, and Why It's So Important in Marriage. And here's sort of a diagnostic test to see if maybe this relates to you. Answer these questions. Do you feel close or distant from your spouse? Do you feel passionate? Or do you feel more mechanical in your relationship? Is your behavior toward your spouse spontaneous or routine? Let me stop there. That's a really important point right there. You might be getting along in your marriage. You're not having any big arguments, not any fights. But let's face it, it's just pretty soon after a while, it just is a simple routine kind of a relationship. And some of the spontaneity, as I call it, planned spontaneity, is gone. Are you emotionally full or are you emotionally more empty? Do you feel loved as you were meant to be loved, or is there something missing? Do you feel inspired or expired by your spouse's touch? Do you feel adored or indifferent? Do you feel understood or disregarded when you talk with your spouse? Those are some of the symptoms to look for. And you may be thinking, well, what's the difference between affection and love? What's the difference here? And love, we know from a biblical perspective, is behavior. It's what we do. You know, you look at the first list of love actions in 1 Corinthians 13, their patience and their kindness and long-suffering, the things that we do. And one of the things I wrote in the book Starved for Affection is that strong marriages thrive when both behavior, the things that we do in our marriage, and the feelings that accompany those actions make our spouse really feel affection from us. And here's the thing. Every person feels affection in different ways. And so, like my friend Gary Chapman, who talks about the love languages, that's sort of along the line of understanding your spouse well enough to know that certain behaviors, certain things that you do are going to have a greater degree of return in feeling affectionate and close to your spouse. I wrote on page 97 in Starved for Affection that love is patient, but affection is empathetic. There's a difference. I'm patient with you, but if I'm empathetic, I really want to have empathy for you. I want to get behind your eyes, and I want to sort of feel your pain. Love is kind, the Bible says, but I believe that affection is tender. There's a difference. Kindness is important, but what about tenderness? Love is not rude, but affection thoughtfully apologizes for its words and its wrongdoing. Love is not self-seeking, it says in Scripture, but affection maybe rubs the back of a discouraged spouse, which, by the way, when my Donna does that, I feel a lot of affection. Love does not delight in evil, but affection carefully and privately uncovers sin and helps the person back onto his feet. There's a difference here. Love never fails, but affection undergirds and confirms your unfailing love for your spouse. Star for affection. You know, in this book, a 200-page book, I outline what affection is, what love is, and how it works in your marriage. And I spend the first half of the book really focusing on a description of what affection is and how it works and what love is. And then in very practical terms, I take the whole second half of this book and lay out how can you make affection in a centerpiece. How can you affect your spouse in a way that they feel loved and you feel loved? There is a bond that makes a huge difference in marriage. So come and join in the discussion today. Maybe you feel like you've been starved for affection, or maybe you know there's one thing that your spouse does that really affects you in a positive way. You feel affection from your spouse. What is that one thing? Give me a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And let me mention today, while we're talking about this, I would like to get into the hands of all of everyone listening a copy of the book, Starved for Affection, with your gift of any amount to help us here at Intentional Living today. I'm going to send you an autographed copy. I'm going to autograph and we'll get it to you, a copy of the book, Starved for Affection. It's a 270-page book that really outlines the power of affection, how to live it intentionally. And it's my gift to you with your gift of any amount to the Intentional Living Center today. And I'll autograph it and we'll get it off to you. Just, by the way, just go online to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And when you click on the donate button there, it'll take you to the page. Make sure you indicate that you'd like the book, okay, when you share your gift, and I'll make sure we get this to you. It's a very positive, helpful read for you or someone that you know that could really build affection and love into their marriage. I have more on this and your calls, 888-888-1717.
As soon as I figured out who he really was, pretty much like right after we got married, I thought, wow, I have married a really analytical guy. He is super competent. He absolutely is good at what he does, and I will never get a hug again as long as I live. I thought, I'm never going to have someone look into my eyes again. I'm never going to have that feeling again. And that was pretty much where I thought that I was going to be for the rest of my life. And I really was miserable. I was really, really miserable. If people could only see where we were and where we are now, can't wait to spend the rest of our lives together. Like I said, I know that it has to do with God's grace, but I know that if I hadn't done what I did, that I could have kept it from happening. Not much I do know.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, you talk about tenderness. That's one of the things that I talk about in the book, Starved for Affection. When is tenderness appropriate? You know, sometimes you got to be tough, right? You talk about the tough side of love. When your spouse is hurting, there's a time for tenderness. When someone that you love is sad, and when someone that you love is discouraged, when someone that you love is confused, they don't know what to do, they don't know what direction to take, tenderness is a human connection that shows a great deal of affection and love. When someone you love is lonely, that's a time for tenderness. Or when someone you love has accomplished a goal in their life, or when someone you love is celebrating an important milestone, when someone you love is happy about a recent development in their life, these are the right times for anger and tenderness. And, you know, we talk about the fact that tenderness is a part of God's intention in marriage. By the way, some have been asking perhaps about, can't go online, but you can call. I'd love to get the book to you, Starved for Affection, 270 pages. We'll autograph it, get it to you, as you share the best gift you can for intentional living today. You can either go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or you can call. We have our staff here ready to talk to you, 888-888-1717, and press number 4, and it'll take you right to our ministry staff who would be happy to talk to you today. Thank you for sharing in the ministry. Okay, Stacy's in Texas. Welcome to the program, Stacy.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
my question is this. Today is mine and my wife's 24th wedding anniversary. Okay. A month ago, she told me that she loved me, but she wasn't in love with me anymore.
So she's saying, I'm loving you out of obligation, out of responsibility. I'm behaving in the right ways, but I don't feel anything for you anymore.
Exactly. But see, here's the thing. She's got on these websites, and they are hurting us. And I keep telling her, you need to get off those websites. Those guys, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to get off those websites. They're hurting us. Well, no, you know what you're talking about. You know what you're talking about. So I got us into a Christian counselor. She's told her the same thing. Those are hurtful. What would you do if God was here and he saw that I was on your phone? What would you say?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But on her part, there's no affection. There's nothing from her.
Now, why did she come and tell you this? What was her motive for telling you, I love you, but I'm not in love with you? What was she trying to say to you?
I don't know. That's what I don't get. That's what I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Is she asking you to change? Is she saying you're doing things wrong?
Well, that's what she said, that I'm smothering her.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I'm a record driver, and I go to her job, drop things off, and then I'll drop it and say, bring her something to drink, something else, you know? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I bring something to drink. Sometimes I don't. And she's like, I don't want you doing that no more. Just stop. So I quit doing that. I quit calling her. I quit texting her. Everything.
Mm.
But we're still living together.
Yeah. So the fact that she came and told you this, it was sort of in her mind, probably, if I tell him this, I don't have to be as responsible. I've laid it in his lap. And this is not uncommon, by the way, Stacy, and I'm sorry. By the way, if you'll hang on, I will get your address and I will send you a copy of Starve for Affection. We'll get that book off to you because there's some chapters in the book that I give some exercises for couples who feel Starve for Affection to actually practice. In other words, one of the things I've found with this book is people have told me we've read it together as a couple. We just, we took a chapter at a time, we talk about it. And we make it sort of a little study for us as a couple. Maybe you could read it together and talk about this, but I'll send it to you. But I agree with you, by the way, what can be the distractions in these websites. I can remember one time a police officer was talking to me and with tears in his eyes. He's just breaking, weeping. I got pulled over because I had a taillight out on my car. And when he found out who I was, he literally started to talk to me about his marriage and talked about romance novels, how those little romance novel books had been impacting their marriage and discouraging, the relationship and intimacy and closeness in their relationship and so on. And as I reflect back on that from, long ago, as I remember telling him, whenever we bring something into our marriage that distracts from the two of us making our marriage a centerpiece, making our relationship important, spending time together around things that are important. Intimacy is not just sexual. Intimacy is about raising our kids, about spending money, about making decisions, about tenderness, about laughing together, about doing things together, about having things that we anticipate to do together. All of these are factors that build this sense of affection and closeness and vitality in the marriage relationship. And when we do that, it makes a big difference. So, okay, thank you for your call from Texas. And we've got another Stacy, this time a female Stacy from Michigan. Welcome to the program, Stacy.
Hi.
Thank you for calling. What's your question today?
I'm calling because my husband and I, I'm really struggling. My husband and I did not have an easy start right mm-hmm. off the bat. In 2005, we lost our daughter.
Oh.
She was the first for all of us. And it seems like in my house, when it rains, it pours.
Mm.
We have two healthy boys and, it's just a lot of stress because one is ADD and one is ADHD.
Hmm.
So it's just trying to find the balance, and I'm struggling real bad right now.
So what happened, it sounds like when you faced that real crisis, which I'm so sorry, you kind of just buried each, you buried yourself in your own worlds?
Yes.
And that's not uncommon, Stacey. I'll tell you, what I have discovered in working with couples over the years is that whenever a relationship gets into hot water, it's like a tea bag. It brings out what's in it. And if people have not learned how to negotiate tough times and come together during tough times, they don't know how to deal with the pain. I mean, maybe he doesn't know how to deal with all the loss, the hurt, the feelings, and how to talk to you, and you're going through it at the same time. So maybe it was just easier to kind of go hide out in your own corners.
Yeah, and it's just, and like I said, I'm just struggling right now. I mean,
what's the one thing you struggle with?
Doing what I have to.
What is the one thing you struggle with more than anything?
We don't really have any alone time. We don't really, it's just not what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. So you're just going through the routine.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Stacey, I'm so sorry. And I'm at the end of the program, I want to pray for all the couples, and we're getting a lot of people calling with similar stories. And the day you got married, my guess is you didn't think you would be here. I think you even said that. You never expected that you'd be at this place.
Absolutely not.
And my guess is he's in the same place.
Yes.
But you don't know how to get from where you are to where you were or where you want to go.
Yes.
And part of it is there's got to be a break. And what I mean with a break is there's a realization, the emotional break, the spiritual break, that just we can't do this any longer. I mean, we love each other. My guess is you guys desperately and deeply cared for each other, and it was a series of this stuff just building up, building up, building up that led to where you are today.
Yes.
And you're not taking the lead, and he's not taking the lead, and you're just kind of both hurting in the same room.
Yeah, pretty much.
You think it would be something that you could say to your husband, you know, you're hurting and I'm hurting. Why don't we go talk to someone? I think we can hurt together and we can recapture what God has for us in this marriage.
I would gladly do it, but he's real hesitant on it.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. You know, you think the whole world's going to fall apart if you go talk to someone and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. I think especially for men sometimes, hey, I'm going to open, have to open my heart. They're going to ask me questions. I got to tell them how I feel. You know, I mean, this is weird. You know, people don't like, guys don't like doing that. The average guy doesn't get up in the morning and say, hey, you know what? I want to go to a counselor today. That's what I want to do. That just isn't the way most men are wired. But you know what? When we get to a point of hurting enough, we say enough's enough. And I would encourage you, Stacey, then if he can't go or won't go, that you get some help, that you start talking to someone to start working through some of the pain and some of your hurt. Don't allow the bitterness to grow up. And I don't hear that. That's great. Because the anger and the bitterness and the resentment and all of those things start to build up and the distance grows and the walls get higher. And in fact, in a moment, I'm going to read a little bit from a poem that's in the book, Star for Affection, that's called Walls. And I think what your story is exactly what this poem represents. I'm going to share that in just a couple minutes. Hang on, Stacey. I want to send you a copy of the book as well. I hope it'll be a help to you. Maybe something you and your spouse could, maybe you and your husband could just read together some of this and talk about it. You know, do it there together to get started. So hang on. By the way, the book Star for Affection that I wrote, Why We Crave It, How to Get It, and Why It's So Important. I'd like to autograph it and share it with everyone who will share a gift today with Intentional Living. It's our gift to you as you share a gift with the ministry. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, hit the donate button or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4 on the buttons there and talk to our staff. Starve for Affection. I'll read a little bit from that poem, Walls, in just a moment.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
We were taught and raised from birth that everyone who wasn't related was considered an aunt or an uncle. You kissed and hugged everyone in the room when you walked in. you kissed and hugged everyone in the room when you left. It is the most wonderful way to be.
We're in the midst of trying to become an affectionate family. Well, I know the changes came after I was born again and accepted Jesus Christ. And then my husband accepted the Lord. And since that time, once we've accepted to love ourselves and dropped criticalness, my children, we're starting to see some changes now that we're becoming more affectionate.
My kids and I are always hugging and telling each other we love you. I mean, to the point that some people think it's annoying.
Well, I'll let them think so, right? Hey, listen, you know, I ran across a poem many, many years ago from an unknown author, and it was called Walls, and it so powerfully demonstrates what can happen in a marriage. Because I believe that on the day people get married, you don't think you're going to be to where you are today. I don't think most people get married with the intention of having problems. And here's what this poem says. I'll read just a little bit of it from Star for Affection. Their wedding picture mocked them from the table, these two whose minds no longer touched each other. They lived with such a heavy barricade between them that neither battering ram of words nor artilleries of touch could break it down. For somewhere between the oldest child's first tooth and the youngest daughter's graduation, they lost each other. Throughout the years, each slowly unraveled the tangled ball of string called self, and as they tugged at stubborn knots, each hid his searching from the other. You know, it goes on to say, slowly, the wall between them rose, cemented by the mortar of indifference. And one day, reaching out to touch each other, they found a barrier that they could not penetrate. And recoiling from the coldness of the stone, each retreated from the stranger on the other side. For when love dies, it is not in a moment of angry battle, nor when fiery bodies lose their heat. It lies panting, exhausted, expiring at the bottom of a wall that it could not scale. Wow. That's exactly how some of you are feeling. I know that. I think throughout a lifespan, we all have moments where we feel walls going up between us and maybe a neighbor or a friend or family member. But when it's in the intimacy of a marriage and one layer of bricks hardens and a new layer is put on and pretty soon you're on tiptoes looking over the wall to see the person on the other side. Once that wall gets above that level, it's hard to know what to do. Man, and yet, you know, I don't want to make it seem so simple as just knocking it over, but it really is. Because you're returning again to that love that God once had for you, had for God and for each other in that marriage. If you're starved for affection today, God's put that in your heart and in my heart. And it's something we can't achieve. It's not perfection. I'm not talking about all of this stuff that comes and goes, because we know being married over the years, you know, there's toughness. There's days that are, and every day is not a tender, beautiful day. There's tough days. But to build within our marriage that sense of affection one for another. David wants to join us with some things that he does, hope and help, from New Mexico. Hey, David.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What do you do to keep affection in your marriage?
Well, we, my wife and I both have major health problems, and hers from an accident years ago when she was 17, me just recently, and with the health problems came a huge, huge financial burden and me not working anymore for quite a while, if ever again. And we started growing apart. And I realized one of the things that we had been doing while I was working is she would text me a little message during the day, or I would text her, and we'd kind of tag each other back and forth all day. It works wonders for me when I'm out there somewhere and the sun is so hot you could fry eggs on a rooftop. The crew is dragging their feet and being the crew, and the suppliers are late with everything. And then in the middle of all of it, when I'm so stressed, I could strangle the next person that walks up to me. She sends a text and just says, loving you, thinking of you, hope your day is going good. And suddenly the day is going good.
That's right.
And there's been times we've dropped out of that habit because of our health. I spent a lot of time in the hospital. She spent a lot of time in the hospital, and we just get eaten up with just health issues, taking care of each other, changing bandages, doing the things that have to be done. But they aren't really affection. She made that clear to me the other night. That doesn't mean you love me. That means you're my caregiver. I want you to be my husband, is her mantra. And I found that taking care of her from her perspective is what any nurse or doctor would do. But caring for her spiritually and emotionally in the way that I talk to her, the way that I show affection, even something as simple as when she's sitting in a wheelchair to walk by and brush her shoulder with my hand, and I'll always get this little response. And if I am out in therapy now, which I spend a lot of time at therapy, I'll again start getting these little text messages.
That is affection.
We were taught and raised from birth that everyone who wasn't related was considered an aunt or an uncle. You kissed and hugged everyone in the room when you walked in. You kissed and hugged everyone in the room when you left. It is the most wonderful way to be. We're in the midst of trying to become an affectionate family. Well, I know the changes came after I was born again and accepted Jesus Christ. And then my husband accepted the Lord. And since that time, once we've accepted to love ourselves and dropped criticalness, my children, we're starting to see some changes now that we're becoming more affectionate.
My kids and I are always hugging and telling each other we love you. I mean, to the point that some people think it's annoying.
That's good again. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, as we wrap up the program today, let me pray for those who've called and many who didn't get through. Lord, I just pray for everybody today that's married. And some are on the high mountain and some in the valley. Some have given up. Some are scared off. Some just feel trapped. Lord, you never intended for that in marriage. You intended for us to experience the very best. Not perfection, but certainly the very best that you have for us. And I pray today couples will start to move inch by inch, maybe just a little bit, in the direction of showing affection in little ways because of your love for them. In Christ's name, amen. And again, as we wrap it up today, the entire book, Starved for Affection, we just touched on the topic at the very highest level. If you want to go deeper and understand what affection means in terms of tenderness and shared vision and trust and contentment and closeness, the book, Starved for Affection, that I wrote for Focus on the Family and Tyndale House is our gift to you. I'll autograph it as you share the very best gift you can with your gift to the ministry today of any amount. We just want to get this out to you. So call us, 888-888-1717, press 4, or go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Okay? Starved for Affection, our gift to you. When your child gets divorced, it's an upcoming topic. See you next time from Intentional Living.